Good evening, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. One of my favorite times of the week, as you know, because I'm here and I have the opportunity to talk to all of those beautiful souls out there who listen, and sometimes they even call in with questions. And so it is a wonderful time for me. Also, another reason is because I am here with another beautiful soul.
And who's that you're talking about, Carol?
Somebody that I'm really glad didn't leave me high and dry.
Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Indeed. Well, if you follow our show, you know that what we usually do is speak to someone on the other side. And we use our beautiful right side brain. And we have a connection spiritually with the right side. With the left side, we use that to ask questions. That's the reasoning side of the brain. And so when Richard and I work together, between the two of us, we're using both sides of the brain to connect with a soul that is on the other side. What I mean by that is an individual who lived on Earth at one time and crossed over and comes to our show to speak to you, our beautiful listeners. Tonight is a little bit different. Yes, we're both using the beautiful gift of the right side of the brain, but that consciousness that we're talking to is slightly different because this was not an individual who lived on Earth and who crossed over, but rather, as unusual as this might sound, we are going to talk to the consciousness of souls, excuse me, the consciousness of cells within the body. And we're going to be talking to some of my cells. No, just stay with me. We haven't looped over somewhere.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Oh, good. Okay.
We've known that cells, and you know that cells have this tremendous intelligence, because just think about this for a moment. At conception, two cells come together, as we know. And from those two cells, they start to divide and they form so many different cells in the body. I mean, they're cells that are become organs and bones and you name it. I mean, the structures within the body have so many different kinds of cells. And yet, these cells are so intelligent that in their communication with one another, in their intelligence and following, you might say, the script of creation, they bring forth a new physical body, this new infant that is about to be born. It is truly, truly, truly the magic of new life coming forth. And the soul comes down into the body. We have a newly created human being. And so we know just how intelligent cells are, but we also know they have a consciousness. Because of this intelligence, it's one of the reasons why these cells have such great intelligence, consciousness, and therefore the ability to speak with them or communicate with them. It is why I wanted to start this show tonight in this manner, so you have some understanding from the very beginning in your own life. You had two cells. You now have a complete physical body that you were born with. For the most part, there are reasons why people might have some differences in manifesting. That's another topic, not for today. But for today, we are bringing forth what I believe is new understanding into the awareness of humanity. Now, we've demonstrated the right brain magic in the sense that we display this, and we also know that we teach others to do the same thing. Richard does an incredibly beautiful job bringing people through the mastery in his right brain magic sessions of being able to do what we do. I find it extraordinary that people pick up on this very quickly once they know the method, once they know how to do this. And Richard and I started out, as some of you might know, by communicating with a tree that is in a park not too far from where I live. And so this, you might say, knowledge base started from there. And it has been like miracles upon miracles when we communicate with consciousness and we hear from these different methods of consciousness, how they survive, what they are bringing forth into their awareness, even so much as an orange or an apple when we receive it. If we connect with it, they can tell us about their life as it grew and developed on the tree or the nursery or the orchard. And as we have journeyed through this, we are just in awe as to what creation means to us. You know, you hear this so many times that all is one. And it is so true. It is one in the sense that, well, there's many senses, but certainly one sense in that all life has consciousness and we can communicate with it as one. And so I kind of wanted to give a little introduction as to what we were doing tonight and some understanding and awareness of how this is done. And this is what we're going to talk about. You might say a new page in this book of right brain magic. And so Richard, because he does the right brain magic sessions and he truly does a masterful job of it, I'm going to turn the mic, so to say, over to you.
Thank you, Carolyn. It was kind of interesting how this topic unfolded, or you can say this show in a sense. And as I indicated in the email that I sent out earlier today, in one sense it began last night with the Archangel Michael conference call that we had, that Carolyn held, where she communicates with some of the masters on a regular basis. Some people come and participate in that extraordinary work. And last night, Archangel Michael was encouraging us, you might say, to embrace the importance of our emotional relationship with our physical bodies, you might say, to, rather than get caught in criticizing them and so on, which we on so many levels do. We're persuaded that they are inadequate, they're not good enough, we're given these references of models and film stars and all the rest of it, and so we feel that we are on some level inadequate, and our physical bodies are inadequate. And Archangel Michael was explaining to us how important it was to relate to our bodies in gratitude, really the extraordinary job that they do, the wonder of the physical body, that it exists and does what it does, is truly extraordinary. We take it for granted, and yet the complexity and the sophistication of this creation is truly, truly extraordinary. And that if we acknowledge in gratitude our physical bodies and support them and connect with the souls and communicate with them, and to understand where healing is needed, to go within and feel the energies that might be present and examine why and so on, then indeed we can promote healing within the body. So this is kind of where the conversation started. And one of the participants in the call, MJ, mentioned that indeed she had been doing this off the back of her right brain magic session and indeed had been communicating with the cells of her body and had found great benefit from this. And then last night, Carolyn was, as she does pretty much every night and every day, deal with interference from those who, on some level, at the very least, wish to disrupt this work that we do, and perhaps on some level wish to see Carolyn no longer present on this planet. She was dealing with that interference, and some of that, it's not something she talks about a lot, but really that interference can be incredibly painful and incredibly debilitating. And some of the interference is in many ways subtle, in other ways it's extremely unsubtle. And so it was she began a conversation with the cells of her body and the consciousness of her physical body. Now, that's not new exactly for her, because the two of us have been doing that for a long time. But what was new about it, I guess you might say, was that those cells were able to identify the microscopic beings in her body that were interfering, and she was able to work with them and clear them in ways that she'd not been able to do before. And so this opened up a conversation that we had this morning with cells of Carolyn's body, and some of the understandings that came forth were truly wondrous. And so that led to us being here tonight, lined up to chat with a cell in Carolyn's body. Bizarre that though that concept is to most people. Pretty bizarre to us too, I might say, but there you go. And, you know, in some ways, you can look at all of this as being kind of crazy, and yet the thing about all of this and the path that we have walked is, on so many occasions, we have both witnessed Carolyn either in quite severe pain in one area of her body or another, or indeed her whole body, and at other times seeing her blood pressure skyrocket to levels where if she were in a hospital, they'd have her in the intensive care unit on all kinds of drugs and so on to try and deal with it. And when we figure out what the cause is, we see that blood pressure return to normal. And so in this crazy way, we have this kind of feedback of the impact of the work that we do in that regard. And so there is this feedback loop that we've had, a very unpleasant one though it is, but it's been in a way a confirmation of the things that we have done. So that's just a little background, I guess, as to how we kind of got to this point. Carolyn?
Yes.
So I suppose the next step is to perhaps connect with that volunteer cell of yours. By the way, one of the things that came out of the conversation this morning is that the cells decide, they elect a volunteer, you might say, a particular cell to conduct the communication. And indeed, you can not only connect with the generic cells of the body, if you will, but indeed you can connect with a particular cell from one of the organs. And again, you know, it will be a chosen representative of the cells of that organ. Yeah, it's bizarre, I know, but that's how it is. It's quite extraordinary stuff, quite fascinating. And, you know, one way to look at this in a sense is that, you know, there are single-celled organisms which in many ways are really not much different from the individual cells in the human body. And they've just, in terms of a human body, in a sense, agreed to cooperate in a particular manner to create this rather more comprehensive form, a physical human body. And so, you know, they, as Carolyn was saying, have a consciousness and intelligence, each and every one of them as a separate individual cell. So with all of that, let's see who this volunteer is that we wish to come and speak to us. And so there is a cell that has come forth. Let us find out what it wishes to say to us. I wanted to come forth as a representative of all of the cells of Carolyn's body to take this opportunity to further the understanding of your listeners, both now and when they listen to the recording, of, in a sense, what goes on within the physical body in some ways, and also to give your listeners the opportunity to engage more directly with their physical bodies to encourage the healing process. Firstly, I want to explain a little more something that Carolyn mentioned, and that is how the physical body is formed really by the division from the initial two cells. And it is, in a sense, hard to imagine how this cell division actually produces this incredibly complex organism called the human physical body. And the key to this, which is not understood by your science, and indeed it is in a way impossible for your science to verify because it is not something that is tangible to your scientific methods, and that is there is a template, if you will, that the cells work to, but the cells divide in an agreed manner into various groupings. And yes, there is a final template, if you will, that reflects the final physical form, but indeed there is a pathway that in its own way is also a template, a pathway that the cell division follows so that it evolves to what you understand to be that final physical form. And so the cells, in a sense, agree to follow that template to bring forth that form. On a level, all of the cells are the same in the sense that they all carry the same DNA, the same fundamental structure. And yet, as they progress, they take on a different persona, you might say. Some form the liver, some form the heart, others the kidneys, others form the bones of the leg, and so on. And it is by the cell subdivision following this template that, in a sense, is the development of the human fetus that leads to this final form. And so I wanted to give you some sense of this. And as Carolyn mentioned, there is a great deal of ongoing communication between the cells of the body. Yes, the communication between those cells that are fulfilling a common purpose, such as, for example, all of the cells within the liver, share much more in common and have much greater communication, you might say, than they might have with the cells that, for example, are present in the big toe. That is a more tenuous relationship than those cells that we work in common with. However, there is this communication that goes on throughout the entire physical body. And so, indeed, if there is illness in one area of the body, all of the cells are aware of this. And I mentioned the template. That template that is followed to produce the physical body also carries modifications by agreement that reflect, for example, the choice of a particular soul to come forth with a particular physical affliction in a given lifetime. And these things are all pre-agreed, you might say. These things are viewed by humanity as being some kind of accident, but they are not. They are all pre-agreed. Indeed, this includes those that are the result of the application of, for example, pharmaceuticals and so on that may have impacted the development of the fetus. This was understood by the soul before it ever came forth. This is something that, again, humanity does not understand. And so I wanted to share this piece of understanding with you before we moved forward from this point. And I perhaps next wish to speak about the subject of healing of the physical body. I mentioned that all of the cells of the body have, on some level, some awareness of any, you might say, malfunctions of the physical form, including its aging. And, for example, there may be damage within a particular organ. Perhaps there is, for example, again, let us use the liver. There has been too much alcohol consumed, and so there is damage to the liver, what you might call sclerosis of the liver. And this is because the liver is faced with the task of breaking down that alcohol, and whilst it can deal with this in smaller quantities without any great damage, if the quantities of alcohol are high and consistently high, there is resulting damage to the cells in the liver such that it can cease to function completely if this continues. And so what can be done about this if the individual is aware? Well, it is possible to call forth the cells of the liver and to communicate with them, to understand what is the issue with the liver. And this can apply to any organ. Perhaps you have become aware of a pain in a kidney, or perhaps through some medical analysis, you have become aware of a diseased organ of some sort. It could even be the heart or the lungs. And so you can connect with the consciousness of those cells. And having connected with those cells, you can then ask those cells to heal the injured or damaged cells, or replace those cells that are no longer functional. And as bizarre as this might sound to you, by opening up this connection with the cells of that organ and sending them your love and compassion and your understanding, and then marrying this with your thoughts, your intention, or your commands, and doing this with love, then the result of your thoughts married with that connection that you have established with the cells can lead to those cells healing the damage which has been caused to that particular organ. And this is not restricted to the example I gave you. For example, an individual may have cancer of some sort, and this could occur anywhere in the body. And once you become aware of this, you can connect with the cells of the body in that particular area. And in so doing, call forth the healing and clearing of that malignancy. You can do all of this. And the same applies to, for example, an injury of a toe or a broken bone in your leg. This is available to anyone. And it is something that humanity has simply forgotten, but it is a key aspect of an individual's ability to heal themselves, and this is an ability that every human being carries. And I also wish to mention that within a particular dimension, such as the third dimension in which you find yourselves, there are, you might say, subdimensions within that third dimension, or indeed any other dimension that you might find yourself in. And the more you refine your consciousness, the more you pursue a spiritual path. So it is that you move yourself up in these sub-dimensions, these sub-layers within, for example, the third dimension as we are discussing it here. And in the more advanced cases, such as the great yogis of the world, or in some of the other traditions, for example, the master responsible for that Chinese practice, Falun Gong, these individuals have refined their consciousness, you might say, to a very high level within the third dimension. And what happens as a result of this refinement is that the vibration of the cells respond to this shift. They move in harmony. And you might say, in a sense, as an individual pursues this kind of path, the abilities and understandings, and indeed the nature of the cells, actually transforms. Again, this is not something that is readily measurable by your scientific methods, by your medical equipment, but it is very real. There are stories that perhaps some of you are aware of where the great yogis, for example, might reattach a severed limb. And this requires this kind of refinement. It is not something that the average person can readily do, because the refinement of the cells, the cooperation to be called forth by the cells to reattach and to repair rapidly such a massive injury, a massive disruption to the cellular structure of the body, it requires a very high level of refinement to do this. The same is true of such things as teleportation and so on. That's why these doors open to those who have pursued a spiritual path of one form or another to bring forth these refined states. Some people might refer to these skills as supernormal, but really they are simply normal in the context of the level of consciousness or the level of subdimension that the individual has reached through whatever method they have achieved this. And so I also wished to share this piece of understanding with you, because in a sense, as you connect in with your cells, as you open this kind of dialogue, you open yourself to this possibility, and you begin to commune in this manner and to feel within the body what is happening within the body, then by definition, you begin to move yourself up through these sub-levels, sub-dimensions, you might say, so that these abilities open up. So I wanted to give you some sense of this spectrum. And of course, as you move beyond this dimension to the fifth dimension, which is this transition that awaits you, again, the cells of the physical body go through this transition. And of course, it opens more opportunities that, again, are supported and aided and abetted by the cellular structure of the body. So there is this beautiful dance that is available to you to understand and embrace, if you are willing, to both bring forth healing of your physical body and to awaken other skills. And you can do some of these things now. You do not have to wait for that transition that is upon your doorstep. Although already it is much easier to do the things I am discussing, because the vibrations upon the planet have moved up so much in preparation for this transition. It is much easier to do these things than it was, say, 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. But as you know, there were those who certainly achieved these things even back in those times. So these are the key understandings that I wanted to bring forth for you tonight.
Thank you. May I ask a question?
Of course.
There seems to be this great relationship between the individual and the cells, and healing can come forth rapidly, it seems, if the human being communicates and is supportive of what the different cells require. And apparently the cells know how to heal. Give me some insight, if you will, as to why human beings should be connecting with the cells for healing if the cells know how to heal on their own. So I'm trying to understand the reasons behind the drive and the need for the human, the ego self, to communicate with the cells for the overall effect of healing. Is that something that you can answer?
There are many threads to your question. The first element of this is, why should illness and disease come forth in the body in the first place? Why should it not just stay perfect? And as I know you understand, illness and disease comes forth in the body to prompt the egoic self to clear past life karmic energies. This is the key reason that illness and disease comes forth. It comes forth to prompt the egoic self to look at what needs to be healed and cleared. And so, strange as it may sound, the coming forth of illness and disease, and in its own way, aging, is a service being rendered to the egoic self by the physical body. It is not how humanity looks at it today for the most part, but this indeed is its nature. Humanity in general reacts in fear to illness and disease, and if they only understood the gift that it was from the physical body, they would deal with it very differently. But all of this will soon be in your past. And so you can, by considering what I have said to you, understand that it is of necessity a requirement for the egoic self to begin to go within and to begin to become aware of this beautiful dance that is being performed by the cells of the physical body and this service that it is fulfilling. And once this understanding begins to come forth, then the gratitude can begin to flow, the love, the appreciation for the service of all of the cells in the body. And so the door can begin to open to changing the agenda. And it is important to understand the power of thought, the power of intention of the egoic self. Cells, in a sense, cannot heal these things in and of themselves, by themselves. They actually need the context of a supportive egoic self, the consciousness of the individual, if you will, that occupies that physical body. And it requires the intention and the support, if you will, of that individual. Humanity, for the most part, does not understand the power of thought and the power of positive emotion in bringing forth change in the physical body, but also within the overall experience of the individual outside of the physical body as well as the physical body itself. And so it requires this connection, this relationship to be opened up. And it is bringing that intention, that thought, in concert with the conscious awareness of the cells themselves, of what needs to be healed and cleared, that makes this whole process work. It is this cooperation between the thoughts of the egoic self and the conscious awareness of the cells that makes this work. And it is obviously much, much more effective if the individual has awakened their ability to communicate directly with the cells and to hear what they are saying. Clearly, this changes the whole process and makes it much more effective and efficient. So perhaps this answers your question.
It does, and it is such a beautiful answer. There is something else that I would like your opinion about. Let's say, for instance, people are not using this relationship with the cells to help heal themselves, but rather start taking drugs to do this clearing and healing, to rely upon drugs. Can you give me some insight as to what happens with the cells when healing is, or whether, you know, people start taking drugs instead of relying upon this relationship between the cells and themselves?
As you will perhaps understand, the drugs that come forth from the pharmaceutical industry are not reflective of natural substances. Indeed, they are driven from a profit and control perspective to produce compounds that are patentable, that they can control. And unfortunately, the focus of those organizations is their bottom line profitability rather than the most effective and efficient healing process. And so I will say that there can be a role fulfilled by compounds from outside of the body, but the ones that work most effectively are freely available from natural sources. Some of them need some level of refinement and processing to bring them forth, but the knowledge of these compounds has been widely understood by the indigenous peoples of the various areas of the planet for a long, long time. Unfortunately, much of this knowledge has been lost along the way. And so there can be a place for specific compounds to assist in the healing process. However, bottom line is that there is no need for any kind of external compounds to bring forth the processes that I have described. Your question specifically was about the bringing into the body of pharmaceuticals, and for the most part, these compounds are very disruptive. You will understand that the cells have very complex receptors on their surfaces that are designed to accept particular natural compounds. And for the most part, it is these receptors that the various pharmaceuticals plug into, you might say. They are designed to plug into particular receptors within, on the surface of the cells. And the impact of these foreign compounds in using these receptors is to disrupt the receptor balance on the surface of the cells. It is quite damaging to the ongoing function of the cells, and it is why it is not unusual to see many side effects from these man-made organic, for the most part, compounds that interact in the body in this manner. They are very disruptive in ways that are not very well understood by humanity. It is my view that as the understandings of humanity progress, this time where extensive use of man-made compounds to influence the health of the physical body will be viewed with great sadness and in many cases with anger, because for the most part these compounds are very, very destructive to the physical body.
Thank you. I appreciate that information. And along those lines, I would like your opinion about GMO products, because DNA has been used to change the composition of seeds. And we don't know enough about the long-term damage that GMO products will create in the body. Can you give us some insight as to what happens with that?
Again, there are great similarities between the use of pharmaceuticals, if you will, and the impact of GMO foods on the physical body. Many of these are greatly disruptive to the functioning of the human body. It is, again, another area where humanity will view what has been done by companies such as Monsanto. On the disruption that they have undertaken with the natural seed population of the planet and the abuses they have been able to bring forth through their manipulation and control of the Food and Drug Administration. This nutritional equivalence that they claim for GMO product is a piece of nonsense, because the testing has not really been done, and where the testing has been done of the impact of some of the GMO products on animals, for example, then there have been very clear examples of severely disrupted health on many levels. And so, as you might imagine, there was created this beautiful dance between the structure of the physical body, not only of humanity, but indeed of other animals, and the structure of the grains and seeds and other elements that might be consumed by those animals or by humanity. And these were supportive. They were designed to support the functioning of the physical body of these various animals and insects, including humanity. And so companies that have been indulging in GMO activity, inserting genes that do not belong, in some cases have absolutely no genetic relationship with the seeds, indeed have come from bacteria or indeed from animals, and been inserted into the plant, into the seed structure for various purposes. These cause quite severe disruptions. There are, as I said, many similarities between the impact of these inserted genes on not only the plants themselves, but the animals that consume them. It is not dissimilar to the impact of many of the pharmaceuticals upon the physical body.
That's beautiful. Thank you. While we're talking about food, I would like some information, if you can give this, that has to do with food requirements for the human being. Were we intended to live on prana from the sun or from a combination of food that we eat, you know, plant life and so forth? And perhaps you can give us some sort of an idea of what the cells might consider a perfect form of nutrition food-wise.
The human body was designed with choices, with flexibility. And the wonder of the physical body, as I said, is that it functions at all. But beyond that, the amazing array of choices that were made available to the occupying soul and egoic self to choose a path of how they wish to move forward by way of providing the necessary energy, if you will, to the cells of the body to function. There were an array of choices made available. And so let us open the door to the first that you mentioned, and that is the physical body living off prana. Clearly, it was not intended that every human being, by definition, live off prana. If that were so, then the creation of the digestive system would be a complete waste of time. And clearly, that was provided, and it functions and works, and that is how most people function. However, every human being already gains a lot of its energy requirements from prana, though most do not understand this. And indeed, it is possible to switch the physical body over to simply running from prana alone. It requires at least 10 days of time for the body to switch over, which involves the activation of the cells within the pranic tube that runs down through the body. But really, that is all it takes, that amount of time with the intention of activating these cells. And again, communicating with the cells of the pranic tube will aid and abet and support this process and make it occur more efficiently and effectively. And once this is activated, the individual can live quite comfortably off prana. So that is an option. And there are those in the world who have done this and are doing this. And these, in some cases, have been documented. However, of course, your mainstream media or science does not give it any airplay because it doesn't fit with the promoted paradigms.
Thank you.
And beyond this, there are many choices from a food perspective. Yes, it is true that the physical human body was designed to live on seeds and berries and greens, and indeed can live quite comfortably on these things. However, also, there have been streams of humanity that have lived on a very high meat content diet. And so these options exist, and you will see expressions of choice in part made based on the genetic predispositions of the individual, but also based upon the direction that the egoic self chooses to walk, where some individuals sustain a high meat content in their diet. Others live purely on fruits and vegetables, and others might choose to completely live on prana. And all of these are valid choices. There is no right nor wrong in any of these. I will say that those who choose to sustain a high level of red meat in their diet will find that the body over time struggles with this load. It does impose a load upon the cells of the body. And any individual who is connecting in with this, with the energies within the body and connecting and communicating with the cells, is unlikely to sustain a high level of red meat consumption because they will begin to understand the incompatibility with this. However, there are many who are very awake and aware who sustain a level of meat content in their diet. It is not a conflict. And those animals that are domesticated in the most part for human food understand that they have come for that purpose. It is not so different from the fruit examples you gave earlier, who understand that they have come forth for that purpose.
That's beautiful. There's so many questions that I have, and yet we're getting to the end of the hour. We have 5 minutes. Can you address the subject of hunger? Because there are many people who overeat and are gaining weight that perhaps is difficult to carry. So can you give us some thoughts about hunger and perhaps how we can control that?
The issue of hunger has many threads to it. It is not unusual for an individual to gain emotional comfort from eating. And there are many things that cause emotional challenge and difficulty for an individual human being. It is not necessarily a reflection that they are not advancing spiritually. There may be challenges in that individual's life for whatever reason that cause them to reach for foods to provide some sense of comfort, because the actions of processing food within the body are relaxing. These are, in a sense, primordial cues within the body for humanity that has lived on food for a long, long time and has gone through periods of hunger. And so the sense of processing food within the digestive system does bring with it a sense of calming. So there is some basis for this kind of comfort food notion. Though that in and of itself is not really hunger. It is a fact that if one eats a lot of food, then it will tend to expand the stomach. And so the stomach will feel empty more readily when it is expanded. And so it requires some effort by the individual to, you might say, suffer through the experience of having active digestive juices in the stomach looking to process food because it has got into the habit of doing this. And so if you withdraw food from it for perhaps a couple of days, and again, if you communicate with the body and have it understand what you are doing, that it is not going into a famine cycle, that it is simply you seeking to bring back a better balance for the body, then you will find that the tendency to overeat will be reduced by this. In addition, there is a chemical switch, you might say, in the body, where the body moves from consuming the food that has been consumed, if you will, to living off primarily reserves, or at least being willing to consume the reserves that it has built up from prior food consumption. It is like a chemical switch, and those who have focused on this will be aware of this. And it is like a sense of withdrawal from a drug addiction. It is not extreme, but it is similar in its nature. And if you are aware of this, again, you can work with the body to help it through this and to breathe and drink lots of water to encourage this switch. And if you have switched the body over in this manner, then you will find that after you have had it in this state for a few days, you will not want to overeat because the body feels uncomfortable when it seeks to go back in the other direction. So there is this balance, and it is one of the reasons that slim people tend to stay slim and overweight people tend to get more overweight. This chemical switching process is a very important one in the body that is not well understood. And anyone that has gone through it with awareness understands exactly what I'm speaking about. And so switching the body over in this way is an important part of moving the body from consuming, for example, fat-rich food or sugar-rich foods to more fiber-rich foods and less foods, and having the body living on some of its reserves and beginning to trim down those excesses. Again, you can support this by communicating with the cells of the body and having them understand that this is what you're doing and you would like their cooperation to reduce the fat reserves, for example, that the body is carrying. So these are some thoughts about the overeating processes and how to begin to deal with them. Of course, switching across to unprocessed foods, to consuming predominantly fruits and vegetables with perhaps some meat component of some sort, and to reduce the food portions and to eliminate the sugar-containing foods other than natural sugars such as fruits might contain. These processes can help enormously in this process. If you have a high processed food aspect in your diet containing, for example, white sugar and white flour, it is extremely difficult to switch the body over because it is continuously flooded by these compounds that rapidly spike the glucose in the bloodstream, and it struggles greatly to deal with this.
That's beautiful. We have learned so much. Would you be willing to come back again and share your knowledge with us?
If you feel there is value, then I am willing.
Thank you. There is great value. Thank you for coming forth. Richard, thank you for this beautiful communication. And it is time for us to end this session. Thank you all.